Hello and welcome to We Got a podcast about Dragon Ball from A to Z, from Earth to Namek to Sadala. We cover it all. My name is Randy.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Fat Ken. That'll make sense later.
Okay.
I don't think it'll ever make sense.
No. We're the world's strongest under the heavens trio de dangers here every other week to talk your ear off about fights, goofs, and everything else in the Dragon Ball cosmos. Douglas, how you doing, my man?
Randy, Ken, I have a concern with Final Fantasy VII because I thought I was almost done with the game. Then it decides to open up again. I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to spoil it, but that's I love it and hate it because I do want to know what happens in the freaking story, but at the same time, I'm happy that there's more game to play. So I'm very conflicted. Am I able to go back if I after beating the story to wrap this all up
yes.
or no?
Chapter select.
Chapter select opens up to you. You can go back to whenever, wherever in the story. You can just go and explore right before you have to go.
Did you guys skip said stuff or did you do it before the story ended? What would you recommend?
I did it before the story ended, but
yeah. Well, I skipped stuff. I didn't do all the extra exploration that comes out. There's the Gilgamesh thing I skipped. And I was like, all right, no, let's just go for it. And I'll deal with this stuff at another time. These pirates can wait. This new quest that I just got, forget it.
Yeah.
So I would say
it didn't damper your ending experience, though. Like,
no. Okay. I mean, I haven't just gone back to do that stuff yet. But
I'm assuming
day.
It's just like for like better weapons and items and stuff that is a necessity.
I did all the side quests except for the party animal guy. And then I did all the other stuff after the end of the game.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, that's what broke me was the party animal stuff was because there was a patch that broke that where one of the games he's like, get this high score and you can move on. And I did. And it didn't unlock. I'm like, well, then I'll do it again. And it still didn't do it. And I looked it up and everybody was saying.
Yeah, even they officially came out and said, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I heard about that, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
As I'm finishing Nibelheim, I'm like, oh, great. I did everything and it felt fun. Great. I'm done. Boom.
Nope.
More to do.
Now, it might behoove you to go ahead and beat the game, Doug, because after you beat the game, swimsuits.
All the time.
All the time.
Shirtless Cloud, I am all here for it, baby.
Yeah.
Barrett, a sailor outfit. See, because like it was Rocco that when he messaged the very vague, like, oh, but I was wondering before why I didn't hear much discourse about the ending. But now after beating it, now I understand why there's not much discourse. And that confuses me to all hell that I just want to find out what the fuck he means.
You will learn. Just do it. I say just do it.
Same. Yeah, I think I will.
Good. Good. Ken, what's new with you?
Well, I finished the first Evangelion anima book actually just today. Hey, it's great. You guys got to check it out.
I got to interrupt you because I started it today. So,
yo, get it.
What do you think? How far are you?
I'm on like chapter 3 or 4. Which is just the lake is frozen and stuff is happening. So,
it's, right. Yeah.
I will say, you know, this is a different writer. This isn't Anno. And of course, this is a translation. Holy crap. Between the original writer and the translation is like, this feels like Ava. The way everybody talks, all of the techno babble. Like, I was looking up terms. I'm like,
nice.
What does this mean for like condensation or just like, you know, a heat transfer? I'm like, oh, I'm learning things. This is great. I love it.
Yeah. You feel like Ritsuko is right there giving you the exposition of everything. Yeah, it's...
Oh, that's great.
It's so well done. It's still Studio Kara. It's an official work.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a different writer, but he gets it. And he gets like the flow of an Eva story. Mm-hmm. And it's just... It's awesome.
He's the Toyotaro of Dragon Ball?
It's much more super robot, like traditional super robot, than it is like heady Eva type stuff. Uh-huh. But it's fantastic. I love it a lot.
I think I saw a figure come out specifically for this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The episode.
I have this ability that whenever I get into something is when like stuff starts coming
that's
out.
That's when they start
for it.
Yeah. The merch comes out.
I've triggered some alarm.
Ken's reading.
I have one criticism, and I guess it's not really a criticism, but one thing in it that I was like, that's a weird choice, but sure. Why did the Avas grow boobs? It's strange.
So they have explained it where you're at. Is
see,
that they begin
breathe
to
through
reflect
their skin, so they need to wear bikinis.
So Okay, so just like to give you an idea of where we're at with anima, it's 3 years after a different version of End of Eva occurred. And so like in the original show, there's like, what, 3 to 4 months that the whole thing takes place?
Right, it's very short.
So they really don't spend that much time in their Evas, but 3 years, they've been spending so much time in their Evas, Doug, that their Evas start to change shape to match their pilot. And so, yes, Eva Unit 2 grows boobs.
So maybe they're going through puberty too.
Kind of. They're 17 by this point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. A match up.
Yeah. So,
but it's really cool.
It is
and
really
then,
cool.
And then I finished a Cheers rewatch. Wow. And I am in season 2 of Frasier now, the original Frasier, of course.
Damn. Not Frasier Kai or rebuild of Frasier.
New Frasier. Frasier Super.
There
no,
we go.
Frasier GT. No, not that. But I like rewatching shows because when you experience something at a different point in your life,
mm-hmm. oh,
it
yeah.
has new meaning.
For sure.
So like everything this damn dog is doing is stuff my dog does. And so I see that reflected in the show. And it's
but Cheers, though. Dang, what made you go back to like an ancient show that was before our time?
Cheers is the best show of all time.
For
best,
real?
It's the best sitcom of all time. Best all comedy right. show.
Welcome to We Gotta Cheers.
It's not like topical, and so it still holds up.
Okay, mm-hmm. got it. It's one of those where it's timeless, basically.
That's fair.
Cool.
Nice.
Randy?
I'm back on my bullshit.
Back on my bullshit?
Where before Final Fantasy VII Rebirth had consumed my life, and I couldn't be the Randy that plays a ton of games that I wanted to be. So I beat Baldur's Gate 3. I beat It Takes Two.
What?
I mean,
you go so hard. Yeah. You know this 800-hour game? Yeah, now the Final Fantasy's done, I beat that.
To be fair, I was already most of the way through Baldur's Gate 3.
You didn't just start it yesterday and then just beat it. No one beats. Jesus.
I was halfway through the final act before I had to put it on pause to go play Final Fantasy VII for a few weeks, and now I came back to it. I beat it in, like, I don't know, a week or so of coming back to it. And then It Takes Two was very quick. It was, like, 3 or 4 days, and it's a multiplayer game. It was Game of the Year a couple of years ago. Very, very good.
Did you play with Andrew?
Yeah, I've played it.
Yeah, I played it with Andrew. It was a good time. We are the best couple because we could read each other's minds while we played.
Yeah, that's good. Tyson would be so mad if he found out you'd played it by yourself. It's like, yeah, no, the game was okay. You know,
you
played,
can't.
Just me.
You have to have good. Two people.
Not even like an AI can play the second player. You have to.
No.
All right,
you
gotcha.
Gotta have somebody else. So that way you can, you know, feel good when you do stuff together or get mad at them when they screw something up that you were trying to pull off. So
another reason to get a girlfriend. All right, got that in the notes.
You can play this game of the year, Doug, once you get a cool girlfriend or boyfriend. I don't know.
Wait whatever 5 years.
Plenty of time. Well, good. It sounds like we all had good times, and we're here to do more good times. Terrible, terrible segue to our topic, which is the great
debate.
It would
have been We Got a Pod if it wasn't.
Exactly. That's what we're known for. Horrible. The word that I just said, and I cannot remember.
Just get to it, Randy.
It's and lingering on stuff too long.
Yeah. Yeah. The great debate. Best arc. We're going to talk about the best arc of Dragon Ball. I think we're all sticking here with the original series, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
So Dragon Ball is a sprawling story. The manga went on for 10 years, and some arcs have been more engaging and more entertaining than others. So we want to bring a debate to you to settle. What is the best arc in the Dragon Ball series? We're going to talk about what are the highlights, what makes each one stand out for our picks, and how does it outdo other stuff? Now, I think we should do this in order of story. So, Doug, I believe you have already chosen yours. And
yeah.
What is it? What are you picking?
I'm going to say, for me, the best arc is the Namek arc. Specifically, Ken said I can't pick and choose what part of it, but I wanted to say specifically the Vegeta stuff because that stuff is so engaging. But yeah, no, I would still consider the Namek arc stuff the best. And if you disagree, then you are a complete and utter idiot. So fight me.
Okay, well, you've made two enemies already because we didn't pick the same arc. So
this is just for podcast purposes. I don't really believe this. I just want to spice things up. Let's go.
Gotcha. We're all playing characters.
I feel like I can just help bolster your opinions. I mean, so Frieza is not my pick
right
here, but I do agree that the Vegeta stuff and having the protagonist suddenly change, not just like change to someone different, like Piccolo or something.
Mm-hmm.
But to the guy who was the villain the last arc,
yes,
is now your main protagonist. It was a brilliant move to just unsettle you.
More than just, like, you know, when Piccolo shows up to help with Raditz, like, because that's just a very contained few episodes and then kind of lingers on to it. No, we stick with Vegeta for a long time as the main protagonist of this story, and it's riveting stuff.
Randy, I'm sorry. I can't like argue with Doug here because it is great stuff, you know. Yeah.
I like this approach better, where we're going to help each other build up their reasons why this arc is the best.
Right.
Even if we might not agree, but we can see Dragon Ball is great all around. Maybe free Red Ribbon Army, not so great.
That's why we're...
Hot take, but we're going to talk... We're going to help Doug show why this whole stuff is really good.
I need as much
good.
As you can... Yeah.
Yeah. Help so me. It takes place after... The Saiyan arc. They've now gone to another planet.
We've crossed over to sci-fi. It's 100% sci-fi now.
New planet. They have killed off 3/4 of their characters.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is no longer an ensemble cast.
It does feel like the stakes are higher too with this, because it's multi-planets and like about, you know, saving our friends. I guess, yeah, the whole kind of world is in danger of this, like from lingering from, now that Frieza knows that Earth is like, where Goku is, that also like adds chaos to that. But yeah,
it's the whole thing of we're going to go do this thing, we're going to go out on this adventure, and it's probably going to go great. And then they land there,
yeah,
only to be like, oh, actually the galaxy's worst villain is also here, trying to also get the Dragon Balls. This isn't going to be a walk in the park, guys.
It's like showing up to Disney World on the same day that school starts, so you think it's going to be completely empty, but you get there and find out that there's a whole festival where all the senior citizens come and just cause havoc.
Disney World is never not slow or not busy. They're always busy. I think what makes one of the fantastic things about the Frieza arc, and I think Randy will get to something of this same nature in your part next, is the parallels that Toriyama does.
Uh-huh.
So we have Goku intentionally like Zenkai boost cheating,
yeah,
right, to get stronger. So he works out, eats a sensu, goes to sleep, works out. So he's intentionally doing this cycle of like,
yeah,
exploiting his Saiyan biology.
Even
and
though
Vegeta,
he doesn't know that that's what he's doing. That's just what happens. Right. But
and then the narration is like, little did he know, but but Vegeta is also going through this kind of thing, but through like trials of what he has to deal with on Namek.
Getting his ass kicked
also,
all the time.
Yeah, going through the same type of cycle as Goku. And so you have these parallels of these two guys becoming exponentially stronger at the same time.
It makes it hit even harder because... Then you get up to Frieza when they want to fight Frieza, and there's this just wall that all that cheating still couldn't penetrate to. It's not till Super Saiyan that he's able to burst through his limit. Great video game.
I think one of the most like chill inducing moments in Dragon Ball is when Tenshinhan is like, well, Goku still has Kaioken, right?
Oh.
And Kaio's like, he's been using it this entire time.
Yeah.
And it works in manga because there's no coloring.
Yeah.
Whereas like in the anime,
The
effect's not the same.
They made it work, and I remember those scenes that, like, artistically wise, like, it's drawn so beautifully, and it's just so vivid, like, so emotion. What am I looking for? Just flowy.
Yeah,
it's so good. We also can't, you know, skip over the fact that we talked about Vegeta being the villain of the previous arc and now being sort of the protagonist of the early stuff on Namek, and then we get to a point where it's Gohan and Krillin working to try to get the Dragon Balls and like outsmart Vegeta, and Vegeta's doing the same thing to them. But then the Ginyu Force arrives, and quickly Vegeta's like, okay, I'm on your side. We got to work together here.
Yeah.
And just like this sudden new team, like literally in the span of like a chapter or an episode, like, all right, we're going to work together. Yeah. We're going to go over here and do this.
Because Vegeta's always been that smart guy where he's like, he uses logic. It's like, these guys are incredibly strong. Gohan, you just got this like crazy power boost from the Elder Namek. We have to. There's the only way that I can survive is for me to have you guys with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
It is good. And it's good fights.
Master tactician.
Not only that, but yeah, just the art in general for this whole arc. It's just so, I really enjoy this. Like we had that episode, Randy, where we talked about our favorite like episodes to just fall back onto.
Yep.
It was the Rakuma and Vegeta fight. That I think is like one of the best animations of the whole series. I love it. Love it.
It's very, very good.
And I love the push and pull of the Frieza fight.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Doug, you were kind of trying to focus on before Goku shows up on Namek. But I think even so, the back and forth of how far they keep pushing Frieza.
Yeah.
And Frieza has to keep pushing back by transforming. And like, no one has ever made him do it.
Yeah.
But he's like this ragtag group of morons.
That's true.
Slugs and monkeys.
And a first grader.
Pushing him. Yeah.
And it's become a meme at this point, just because in hindsight, of course, we know all these transformations. But like, experiencing it for the first time, it does feel so natural and so like push and give. It's so great. I love this arc so much.
With those transformations, we're also sort of messing with your expectations, because when they first show up, like, to fight Frieza, well, Frieza shows up to fight them, Vegeta goes, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm already super strong. I know you transform. So just transform and get it over so I can kick your butt. And Frieza does, and he's like, BT dubs, I got two more. It's like, oh, no, we're super stepping in it here. So, oops.
It's so great when someone when an artist can just like lay their cards out on the table and still have you surprised or like enjoy the ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's the master of Toriyama, the genius of him.
And even after he exhausts all of Frieza's transformations, he's like, "Well, we still have 100%."
Yeah, that one's a little stretching it, but yeah, just to give Super Saiyan something to go a little scared of.
Right, you don't want Goku just to stomp him and that be it.
Right,
know? Even though that it would also be very, very good.
Yeah. It basically happened that way.
It's such a good arc.
Yeah, and the way that during that fight with Frieza, there are periods of time where the heroes do get the upper hand on him,
mm-hmm.
which is in contrast to the fight against Vegeta in the Saiyan arc, in which, man, that is a dirty fight. They never have the upper hand on Vegeta at all. Uh-huh. And they're just, it's like a constant desperation to kill him. And then at the one moment where they do have the upper hand, and Kuririn's got the sword, Yajirobe's sword on him, and Goku's like, "No, don't
do it." Nah, dog. So
this is like a total flip of that. It's like, even when we have the upper hand, it's still not enough.
Yeah.
Mm. Good choice, Doug.
That's my spiel. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I mean, if we were going just on battles, yeah, that Vegeta versus Goku battle would be good. But yeah, as opposed to arcs, the Namek arc is mine.
Nice, nice. Well, I had a couple I could have picked from, but I think I settled on my top choice, which is the artificial human cell, that whole thing. And we talked about in the previous one, Vegeta being a villain, coming back and not being the protagonist. Here we have Frieza, who is such a powerful villain that only one person could fight him, now comes for revenge. And mm-hmm. he brings his papa. So now we've got two horrible monsters, and Goku is nowhere in sight.
No Goku.
Right. Just pure like, well, we're totally boned. Don't know how we're going to do with this.
Yep.
And then just some kid shows up and transforms into a Super Saiyan and defeats them both with no issue is unexpected. Absolutely. Out of nowhere.
That's one of those moments I wish I could like Men in Black, lose my memory and then go back and watch again for the first time. Oh, it'd be so cool.
It's a rare thing because we look back at that moment and we remember it fondly. And we buy it.
Yeah.
But I think if something like that happened today in a story that people were following and invested in like a villain like Frieza, and then this happens and he dies instantly, they would call that an ass pull.
Maybe.
There would be zero reverence for it. But because we weren't in that like toxic, poison-minded internet era then, it's totally fine.
I wonder if maybe they did think it was an ass pull back in Japan when it first came out, though, because... It is that sense of...
I like to believe people were better then.
Before we were, like Ken said, poisoned by the internet.
Right, right.
You know, I think it's just how the story is told. I think that it unfolds really well. You have that desperation of everybody like, I guess we'll just show up and see what we can do. But like, we're kind of up a creek without a paddle. And then that happens. Everything's fine. Goku shows up. Trunks reveals who he is, that he's the son of Vegeta and Bulma, and that in the future, there's some robots that are going to show up and make things real bad, and gives them the warning, gives them medication in the hopes that if he changes the past, his future will be better. And so then we have Goku and them training, like, all right, we're going to do it, and we're going to defeat these robots, we're going to make his future better and our future better, and everything's going to be fine. Even though Goku knows he's going to die of a heart disease, he's got medicine now. Everything's going to be fine. These robots show up.
Is this really like the first time that Toriyama like sets the table for what the arc is going to be at the beginning?
Huh. I think so.
You could say like the tournaments before have kind of done a lot of that because we kind of set up who's going to be fighting who and what mm-hmm. the expectations are ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a lot more like natural. Like this is a tournament, so obviously it's this. But with this, it's like, no, this is what the story plot's going to be.
Right. Yeah. Hey, guys, Goku, here's what the next arc is.
Yeah.
So the robots show up. They're like, okay, they're tough, but like we have prepared. We kind of know what to expect. They're mm-hmm. able to stay
on. They're getting a little cocky.
Yeah. They're staying on even footing and they're going to be okay. And then Trunks comes back and his future is not fixed because they splinter timelines. So his future still sucks, but at least maybe he can help this one. Shows up and these aren't the robots he is terrorized by in the future, which is kind of a real shock to the system for everybody to be like, I mean, these guys are kind of tough. We're doing okay, but like, what? There's other ones?
Such a great twist to pull on these characters.
And the behind the scenes of it makes it
all the much better.
All the better, yeah. Because this was Toriyama's second editor. The name escapes me.
Those are the T, I think.
Not Torishima.
Oh, not him. Okay, then I'm wrong.
Second editor. And his editor was constantly telling him, like, I don't like these. Do it and come up with something else. And So Toriyama, the push and pull of Toriyama trying to tell this story while he's constantly being told to change it and somehow and still makes it making all it good fit together.
There is hands in his kitchen and he's still like dishing out excellent dishes.
Doesn't stop his cooking, as the kids would say today.
Yes.
Wow, that's where it comes from.
So we've got the actual 17 and 18 who show up, plus another one that Trunks didn't know about. 16 is on the scene.
I feel like that's just adding a little. I love 16, but that does feel like a little actually too much. Like that's different. Plus this, you know what I mean?
Oh, see, because we've already done that trick of like actually there's two more.
Yeah, and it's these more weren't like the ones. Actually, which, but I mean, like without 16, a lot of this story that we love wouldn't happen. So I'm not against it. It just feels a little extra.
16, I think, is there to help them realize, like, oh, this 17 and 18 aren't evil. They're just traveling to go kill Goku because they have nothing else
to do.
And 16 has a directive, so they're just following with him. And, you know, Kuririn is able to, like, convince 18 and even 16 out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, 16 is a driving force for these not bad guys.
Uh-huh. Or aimless bad guys.
There we go.
Yeah.
So we finally have these guys who are, you know, ruined Trunks' future, and they're around for just a short period of time before another thing shows up. A new time machine is here. There's like a bug carapace. So like, what the hell is this? And then we have like the most like horror-ish episode of anything of just like TV crews being like, people are disappearing from this town and we're getting attacked off screen. And
you just see a thing in the shadow just lurking around with that robotic walking sound. Click, clink, click, clink.
Yeah.
So menacing.
It's the same sound effect as Frieza's feet, right?
I think it's sort of new, but then it's used again for like Broly, and then
that's what I'm more familiar with. Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's just so chilling, the reveal of like the time, like this time machine has been here since I've been here. Like Trunks says that. It's like so that's like, what is going on? What has been chilling here for that long?
There's a very short window of time in Dragon Ball where the tone is just straight up horror.
Yeah. And I savor it every time. So now that Cell is on the scene, we've introduced him. He's here to absorb 17 and 18 and become perfect. Eventually, you know, the 17 and 18 are now kind of on Piccolo's on their side because they've got a common enemy in Cell. So we've got that thing, just like we had in the Namek and Frieza arc of like, okay, now Vegeta's going to come over to our side. And now we've got 17 and 18 and 16 kind of helping out because we have a common enemy. And unfortunately, that doesn't go great. We have Cell becomes perfect and he's too strong. But also, Ken, you had brought up, we have parallels because Goku and Gohan are training and becoming stronger at the same time.
Yeah.
And that makes it feel real good. We have the Cell games.
The same episode that Gohan transforms into Super Saiyan is also the same episode where Cell transforms into his perfect form, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that parallel of when Goku and Gohan are training while Vegeta and Trunks are fighting Cell.
Yeah.
The story beats that are happening between these as what's happening over the course of an hour is the course of like a month in the Room of Spirit and Time. And so you have, in real time, Trunks realizing that he should not be using Grade 3. Uh-huh. And then they cut to the Room of Spirit and Time, and Goku unleashes Grade 3 and is like, this isn't going to work.
Yep, just the explanation of why
we shouldn't use this.
And cuts
and then you see Trunks get his ass handed to him.
You see the evidence right there.
Yep.
The subversion of Trunks, I think, is also... this is going to hurt a lot of people to hear this. Trunks does, like, one or two cool things, right? He shows up as like the mysterious shonen boy and kills Frieza and then like flounders at every next thing he does for the rest of the arc.
But that's kind of endearing because he is just a teenager. That just proves that he is the kid without this much experience. It's only after the Cell games and everything is finally good and he goes back to his world that he has that confidence of like an adult and like, hey, mom, chill for a second. I got to take care of something real quick. And then boom, kills Cell and 17 and 18 prior. It's so great.
We have the Cell games. We've got Goku and Gohan, and everybody's showing up there. Everyone's like, oh, Goku's going to save us. He always has. Goku gets in there, does his fight, and he gives up. He's like, you know what? And if this keeps going, I'm going to lose, and it's just not going to go great. But there is somebody stronger. And everyone's like, who's that? Gohan's like, who's that? Goku's like, it's my son. Gohan's like,
it's like, come on, man. You know it's you.
I don't think so. Okay, fine. Well, let's do it. And
it's so
great
that Goku's just been coy about this for days, for weeks and stuff like that. Just like, we'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
And Gohan gets in there and, you know, has to sort of realize that he can reach new heights by embracing who he is, which is a tiny little rage monster, and to get angry. And he does. He becomes much stronger than everybody else, is able to take on Cell, unfortunately gets too cocky, and then Cell does his explodey thing, kills Goku, but he comes back, kills Trunks, and now Gohan has to defeat him again, but he doesn't have Goku to fall back on, he doesn't have Trunks there, Vegeta's incapacitated, like, it's just him, it's just a kid versus this huge monster, and he happens to do it. And finally brings peace. Trunks is able to go to his future and bring peace. And there's just... this arc is full of so many twists and turns, subversions, surprises. And I don't know. It's just everything about it. And like we had said before, this is a whole point of the second editor that Toriyama had that is changing things, getting his hands in these soups. And somehow the dish still comes out great. You know, lands... everything that he set out to do, it's impressive, the level of storytelling acumen that one has to have to pull that off.
Yeah, and if you look at Raditz arriving on Earth to the end of the Cell arc, it is really one long continuous story.
Yeah.
To that point.
After this, which is when we finally get a break, when like Earth can finally have its quote-unquote peace. Well, I guess you could say while everyone's going to Namek, because the Earthlings are not aware. Yeah, everything's chill now, but
they're off the radar.
They're on Namek for like a month.
Yeah,
that's a really short period of time.
It's a good month. The crops are coming in.
Yeah,
but yeah. Speaking of Raditz and the Cell games, like when you were talking about how everyone had to join up, everything feels so natural in that instance. As opposed to, you could say like the Piccolo and Goku team up was very like a very out there. Like Piccolo just shows up, it's like, I need your help so that I can take over the world later. Like it's very openly expositionized.
He got spanked by Raditz first, and he's like, okay, I can't do this
But I'm saying, like, the 17 of Piccolo team up was a very much like, we're fighting right now. Oh, we need to turn our attention to this guy, as opposed to just, like, showing up and be like, this is the way we do it, and so that I can take I need to kill him so I can kill you later.
Right.
It feels less like a plot device and more natural.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's 17 and them weren't really villains in this timeline. They're just kind of like... bored kids who are like, what if we go kill a dude?
Well,
but we don't actually do it.
Very villainous things.
Yeah, not that bad.
I love the moment when Goku introduces himself to 16 at the Cell games. 16 is like, don't forget I was meant to kill you. Damn.
Yeah,
love it. And what's so endearing about Gohan's character and just Goku's naivety is like, no, Gohan's got it. Like he's the guy, and just forgets that no, we're all different people with different like goals in life, and Gohan's on the chart. Gohan is stronger than you right now, but that's not, he doesn't have the experience, doesn't have the heart for it until, you know, forced to, but yeah.
And I think this is something that Toriyama started setting up with a line that Nappa says about like half-breeds being stronger than science.
Yep.
And then we see that come to fruition. So that was always something in the back of
Even the narrator does mentions that.
Yeah. And so he has like the moment against Raditz. I think Gohan, I don't remember if he did any rage stuff against Nappa And then, you know, we have that whole moment with Dodoria in the Namek,
yeah,
and in the anime when he comes back and fights Frieza.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep building those things, and it just feels like Super Saiyan 2 Gohan was where it was always meant to go.
Right. Yep. Right.
Even though probably not. I mean, we know the way he wrote this story was by the seat of his pants, but
right. But he kept putting in like little things of evidence in there.
Yeah.
To like maybe eventually when I need to use it out, here's when I need to, or when I need to transition this character into the main. I think that's probably where his head was at.
If you really think about the Cell arc, Gohan is not really a character all until they decide to go in the Room of Spirit and Time.
No. He's a taxi.
He's not involved. Yeah.
He's a taxi. He's an annoying little kid that just like, he's like too much caution like out there. Like, no, chill out, Gohan. Something will figure it out. Someone will figure it out.
It's good. And Gohan's good.
And they introduce this prick, Mr. Satan. What a terrible
Oh my God.
Character.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes this arc the best of all arcs.
That's true.
I used to hate him as a teenager watching. I'm just like, get out of here. I want to see our heroes. Yeah. But now as more older, like, yeah, this is the best character in all.
He intentionally sucks in the Cell arc. Yep. He's designed to make you hate him.
Yep.
Which makes the next stuff all the better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ken, did you want to talk about that one?
Yeah. So the arc that I chose is the Buu arc.
Okay.
And I would say like Buu arc is either my number one or my number two on any given day. It's either this or the 23rd Tenkaichi Budokai. But I think this one I thought a lot less people feel strongly about. So I was like, well, let me take this one then.
Yeah.
I think the Buu arc is incredible. It is a self-parody. It is Toriyama's greatest hits. It is him at the top of his game with his characters, taking all of his characters to their logical ends where they're at. Like for the Buu arc, Goku really acts like a sage. Like he's done. He's super matured by this point. Mm-hmm. He's beyond trying to get stronger than anyone. He doesn't really do any training outside of the mental training he does ahead of the tournament. So he's kind of like at his same level all the way through.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Vegeta is kind of like going through his midlife crisis, like we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. He at the end, Vegeta is the one to recommend the spirit or the Genki-Dama and, you know, team up with Kaio to help get everyone to help out, and yeah, no one is helping out. And so then they have to go through the different stages. Goku is also, like in the Cell arc and in Frieza and in everything, is on the back burner for a lot of this arc.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got two new characters, Trunks and Goten. Trunks is a subversion on like the Goku, young Goku character, because he's a stupid little kid. And like he and Goten are like the spoiled brat versions that Goku never could be when he was young.
Yeah.
And so we get to see that with these. Toriyama, so the whole Super Saiyan thing was so serious to Vegeta on Namek, right? Mm-hmm. He was so, I have to be the Super Saiyan. The whole thing about Goku becoming Super Saiyan was so serious. Kuririn's dead. You know, there's all this impassion in the Trunks special, right? Gohan dies and Trunks, becomes, and then in like the Buu arc, it's just these little kids assuming the rage involved just became Super Saiyans, right?
It's very like No Country for Old Men, where it's like, you know, in my day, I had to walk 10,000 miles to get to the school bus, but you guys just have it willy-nilly. Like, it's very much like Toriyama's in that adult stage of his life where he's like looking at the generation below and like, you kids have it easy or whatever. And making like a parody of that.
It's the first time we go back to a tournament since before Raditz. So we get to do that again and catch up with everyone. Piccolo, we get to see much more of how Kami influenced him. And I've said this before and I'll continue to argue it, that he basically is just Kami at this point.
Just a young Kami.
Yeah, he never takes off his turban, never takes off his cape. He is like the instructor. Like Piccolo is probably more present in this arc than Goku is.
Yeah, probably. You're right.
Yeah.
Because Piccolo is there and he's at the tournament. He gets involved with Kaioshin and talks to him.
Now that you mentioned it, I can't imagine him without his cape during this whole arc. Yeah. Like, he doesn't really fight. Maybe like throws a punch or two in desperation, but yeah, no, he doesn't get his hands dirty.
He helps with the volleyball thing and that's it. No, it's just great. And the way that we build the world out of the other world, right? The Anoichi. No, that's the tournament name. The Ano, other world. It's just great. It's just great the way they do that. And I think that, you know, I said from Raditz to Cell, it's really one continuous story. And then we have a 7-year time jump. And I think the point of the Buu arc is to show you that, like, hey, no matter what gets thrown at these guys, they'll figure it out.
Mm.
And I think that's the message of the Buu arc is, yeah, it's so disconnected, but it's here to show you that, like, hey, when these like random things show up and happen, this is how these they're going to take care
well,
of it.
Well, isn't that, I don't know if that I see it that way, because it's very much like, as long as Goku is there, like it's that, but if Goku is there, because Goku's whole like motivation is to train these kids, like, oh, they're not ready to handle these things without me there yet. Like, he had to teach the kids fusion. He had to, had to teach these fusions so that they could take care of it and raise Gohan to be a savior.
But yeah, Goku doesn't take care of it himself because he says, like, hey, it's not my place to do this.
Right. I mean, I don't mean him getting his hands dirty, but still his influence needs to be there. Like, he had to literally come from the dead to come and, say his piece to get things moving.
But even then, you know, it was the power of the Earthlings and the power of the Dragon Balls that beat Boo. Yeah,
dude, I can't stress how much I love how the Genki Dama is the ending of all of Dragon Ball proper. It's like this move that didn't work in the very beginning was taught to him by Kaio-sama, and it's just it just comes to full fruition this time with everyone on the planet having to give their energy for that. It's wonderful.
But it wasn't going to work because they had to wish Goku's power back.
Yeah.
So it was like the Genki Dama built by all the Earthlings. And then the magic of the Dragon Balls.
That too is the Genki Dama and the Dragon Balls of all things are still like Toriyama could have not included that last part and like just won by Genki Dama, but to include the Dragon Balls was a special touch that is just like, yeah, this is the main thing of the story and it's here. I love it.
And then of course Mr. Satan, God, the goat, right? The way that like they build you up to hate him in the Cell arc, and they build you up, throw him in here. They automatically give you this like endearing bit by introducing Videl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And so now like, oh, she's involved with Gohan. So you're going to have to be seeing more of this guy. Yeah. Like, oh no. And then they start to really play up his, like he was always a gag character, right? Yep. I mean, he gets hit by Cell, flies into a mountain and lives, right? That's gag character type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We see other characters die for much less in this series. Yeah. So he lives. And then the tournament goes through in a weird way because they have to rework it. And he makes a deal, side deal with 18 so that he can win still. And so he's becoming more involved in these other characters. And then it goes to the whole thing where it's, I guess it's the next day. And it's like, who can beat Majin Buu,
mm-hmm.
our world champion?
The world Satan. Turns to mm-hmm. Satan.
And it's totally played like, oh my God, this is going to go terribly.
Yeah.
And it's like, we keep saying it's the subversion.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Satan does end up like saving the world. And it's a line like Piccolo says, right? He says like, I don't even know the exact words he says, but he says something like when they go to save him, he says like, you know, you really did save the world or something like that. And then when Mr. Satan, I'm about to tear up, when Mr. Satan's got Vegeta and he's running, being like, hey, we're out of the way. You can throw the Genki Dama. And then Goku's like, you really are the world champion.
Oh my God. Yeah. Goku like, says that.
It's this, the way that Toriyama understands his characters is on full display in the Buu arc. And so it's like, yeah, it's totally disconnected. And like every next page of the Buu arc, some random thing is happening. Like, yes, that's all true. But if you look at the Buu arc from the way that these characters are weaving in and out of the story and to their end points, it's just brilliant.
I just love how when Satan goes to like confront Buu for the first time, that's really when you start empathizing more with Mr. Satan, just like, oh, he's actually a decent human being. That's when you start learning, like, he's just in over his head, but he does have a heart and like, you know, cares about humanity kind of stuff. And then it just comes into full fruition when he saves Vegeta from that before the Genki Dama.
Mm-hmm.
He puts himself in harm's way. And that alone, the weakest guy in our roster is the bravest. You have to be scared to be brave. And yeah, he full on proves that.
And then like just other small things like Vegeta before he has full mental breakdown. You know, he talks about how Gohan would be the strongest of them if he just kept up his training. And like that's such a like picture Vegeta admitting that in the Cell arc.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So it's just 7 years is a huge amount of time, and Toriyama understood that and like allowed his characters to change.
Yeah,
like Goku doesn't act anything like Goku of the past. Vegeta doesn't act like anything Vegeta of the past. But you buy where these characters are now.
Yeah, and like there's influence by all the other characters around him. Like the whole Saiyan race thing was just a band of a race that just like went out to fight, destroy, and kill kind of thing, And it is that half-breed saying of like Gohan, for example, that shows I'm not all about fighting. I may have all this extra power that can surpass even you, but I'm not about that life. And I love that each character has their own personality. It's great.
Yeah. And then just the end of the series, I think, is great too. It's just like showing you, hey, we figured out another crisis like we always will.
Uh-huh.
And now Goku is going to start training this kid to make sure that that will always be able to happen.
Yeah. As long as Goku's influence is always there.
Panna's right there.
She's four. All right. We got to.
Yeah, you can only do so much. All right. Let her get kidnapped by her uncle, then can give her a call.
Yeah.
That's fair. All right. Well,
did I turn you on the Buu arc?
A little, not a lot. Yeah.
I want to see Goten kidnapping Pan, and see what happens. Just, you know, to mimic the Raditz stuff.
There's just some stuff in the middle that I think is just, like you said, something random and crazy is going to happen. And I think I just get burnt out on it. I'm like, okay, that's enough. But we got to keep going. More forms of Boo, and like, now Goten is here, now Gohan is here, and now Vegito is here, and now it gets to be a lot. But if you could defend that, then maybe I can be totally swayed.
The Boo arc is Toriyama, I think, truly unchained.
Because
He was on his third editor, and a Fuyuto Takeda was his third editor, who came in at Perfect Cell. And I get the idea. I have the feeling when I read the Boo arc that he just kind of stepped back.
He's like with the cigarette, like, yeah, you got it. You got it. Do what you want to do, man.
Just get him in on time. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
You made Dr. Slump. You've made Dragon Ball, which has been a hit for the past 7-8 years. Who am I to come in here and tell you what to do? And so, for better or worse, that's what the Boo arc feels like to me, is Toriyama just being like, I'm just going to throw everything at this story.
An idea I have, I'm going to make it work in there seamlessly.
It's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Guys, they're all great arcs. All of them are good, except for...
Once Tao Pai Pai shows up.
Yes.
All great.
Then it's nonstop,
still
just a great
good.
Time. I will say, I had said I have a few that I would pick from, and I chose the Cell Android stuff, but I would have gone Saiyan arc or 23rd Budokai. But like, again, they're all super good. And I'm sure other people have thoughts on that, which we will have to get to after this little break. So stay right there. Hey there, welcome back to We Got a Podcast. Just to let you know, that if you check out our show on Spotify, we usually have up some cool things you can interact with. And I just want to highlight the most recent one, which was for our AF is Back, where we talked about Young GG's Dragon Ball AF. We asked you, are you going to read more of Young GG's AF after we talked about it? And we had three options: You Bet, or I'm Okay for Now, or I Haven't Even Started. And I Haven't Even Started is the winner.
That
so.
Wins. That checks out, yeah.
I give it a try. You know, it's fun. It looks
after our cool. glaring review of like so many tracings.
Our review was, I believe we summed it up with, y'all keep reading it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'll do more.
I don't hate this.
And of course, we come to the big thing, which is we want to hear what you guys had to say about your favorite arcs. And boy, y'all showed up. We got a lot of responses. So, Ken, you and I are going to have the wonderful job of getting through these to make sure that everybody gets their voice heard here on We Got a Podcast.
Right.
So, would you start us off here with Jason?
So, the first thing we did was we asked, you know, people what their favorite arc was.
Of course.
So they could come. And Jason Rufy writes in and says, the Boo arc is super fun to revisit because of how Devil May Care the story progression is. Yes. The whole arc is a comedy of errors, with the main cast taking turns dropping the ball against a group of incompetent villains. Toriyama intentionally undermining each plot point as a joke. It's a complete mess that's somehow held together by some of the best comedy in the series. And I agree.
Yeah, I guess it is fun that like the villains also aren't like a Cell or a Frieza, where they're like, they know what they're doing. It's just they're bumbling around just like the heroes.
Exactly. Yeah. AJ, Anime AJ, says the pre-Cell Android stuff is just too good. The mysteries, the ever-changing targets, the way everyone's super overwhelmed by it all. Fucking love it. Yeah, can't agree. Although I would say stuff after Cell shows up is also really good.
But. You said can't agree. You can't agree more is what you meant.
Yeah, whatever I wanted to say.
Let's pull that bullet, guys. Parker Rico writes in and says, I absolutely love the Red Ribbon Army arc. From beginning to end, it's a mystical adventure. Stuff like Muscle Tower, the Dr. Slump crossover, and Goku taking on Tao Pai Pai, and later on the Red Ribbon Army.
Does this hurt you to
it's
read?
It's such a good arc.
That hurts you to read.
No, I mean, if you like it, then that's fine. Uh-huh. There's certain things that are not for me, and early Dragon Ball is not for me.
I like Muscle Tower. Muscle Tower is fun. I even made a whole
Tower is good.
Game out of it.
It's true. Cage says, Cell will probably always be my favorite. I can admit that there are flaws, but I am almost incapable of viewing this arc objectively. In my eyes, it's flawless, and I love every single moment from it. Gohan is also my favorite character, so I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. It's too good.
I wonder if we opened your eyes by telling you he's barely a character until the end.
That says even more about him that, like, just in the little sliver of story he has, he really exploded, like, literally and story-wise.
Yeah. Thanks, Toriyama, who I'm assuming is actually called Mecha Troy, says definitely the 22nd Tenkaichi Budokai or the Cell Game.
Oh, with Tenshinhan. Wait, yeah. 22nd? Yeah,
22nd is the Tenshinhan one.
Okay.
Which is a great little self-contained, like, villain becoming a good guy story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Colton.
Breaking Yamcha's knees. Sorry.
That's our favorite part is when Yamcha gets his knees broken. Colton at SniperKing323 says, it's difficult for me to pick just one. Join the club. So I'll just say that everything between the 22nd Budokai and Frieza, in my opinion, the best portion of Dragon Ball. Probably the most oops all bangers section of the entire original manga. Yeah, man. It just never stops, you know, after that. It just keeps going good.
Yeah. I'm surprised it didn't include Cell Saga with that stuff, but yeah.
J. Lunar S. Jake writes in, friend of the show, says, the Saiyan arc is, perhaps irrationally, my favorite arc. An iconic time skip aside, these eps retain classic Dragon Ball feels whilst rapidly shaking up the status quo at an alarming rate. Until we go full space embrace. Special shout out to my favorite arc bookend, ep 36.
Oh, man. It is really good. And also, just like, this is the first time we see a bunch of our friends get murdered before our eyes. It's good.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, everyone does.
Yeah.
I bought our second Tenshinhan figure just so I can have one arm pop off just on display.
Ooh, good call. Shu, Footlong Shu, says, Saiyan arc. Saiyan arc. To me, it's a perfect culmination of the series up to that point as it transitions into a new, larger scale. The final fight feels like a true struggle that every character has to contribute to just for them to win by the skin of their teeth. Oh, yeah. That's storytelling.
Lum Ranmayasha writes in and says, the Red Ribbon Army arc, easily. A lot of love for this.
Interesting. Nice.
I love that it goes through so many unique locations and adventures at a brisk pace, makes good use of the cast and fun short-term allies, has the most eclectic antagonist, a Dr. Slump crossover, and the best balance of action, humor, and stakes. And this is me interjecting here, it has Master Roshi climbing into a toilet.
Oh, my God.
when Bulma goes
Bulma,
to use
yep,
it.
Yep.
Now, to counteract that, I will bring up something great, which is, who's the first guy? Is it Colonel Silver that shows up first?
Yes.
Who else would be?
Yeah. It's Silver. Don't remember his rank.
Who's
whatever.
White is
the Muscle Tower.
He's the Muscle Tower. Yeah. Okay.
We have this dude. He's big. He's strong. He's terrorizing people looking for the Dragon Balls. He finally meets up with Goku to steal that Dragon Ball from him. And he's like, oh, but I'm a big, strong guy from this army. You can't take me. And Goku just like hits him one hit. This guy's down.
Done. Like,
that's good stuff. That's
a good scene where Goku's just like wandering into this like area where all the Red Ribbon guys are looking for Dragon Balls. He just walks up with his radar, reaches his hand down a rock and finds the ball and walks away. It's so great.
That's good stuff. Austin called Turntex Austin says, my favorite arc has to be the Saiyan arc. I love all our heroes working so hard to fight Nappa and Vegeta, even if they all get stomped. The final fight between Goku and Vegeta is too iconic, and the final blow being Ozaru Gohan crushing Vegeta is creative and ironic. Oh, yeah. Forgot about the irony.
Yeah.
Scott writes in and says, the King Piccolo arc, the complete tone shift and seriousness after many ones with Red Ribbon, Tao, and Tien Shinhan. Characters dying specifically, Krillin's death is especially haunting. The introduction of an evil boss that threatens humanity and Goku's first showing up to save the day. Yeah, stakes are really what I think of with Dragon Ball, and which is why, like, for me, I'm say I like Dragon Ball starting when Tao Pai Pai shows up, because that's when you have your first like real character death. Mm-hmm. Bora dies.
Yeah.
And then that whole like mission becomes get the Dragon Balls so you can wish him back to life.
That's
so
where then, like it originated from, basically. Like it's very rare.
So from then on, yeah. And then so, you know, Tao Pai Pai walked so that tambourine killing Krillin could fly.
Like Krillin's death really means something here. Like you don't know any better. And it's just like, yeah, he's dead. And it's really heart wrenching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why didn't he just go Super Saiyan? I'm afraid to ask Toriyama. What a hack.
And how's that guy boost yet?
Jake Pei says, the Cell Saga. That's my man. I know the Namek Saga is better paced and written, but all the moments within the Cell Saga just allows a majority of characters to have a moment, like Krillin and Tenshinhan, but also allows the villains to have more motive than I'm evil, like Frieza and Vegeta were. Yeah, there's a lot to it. It's so good. I already talked about it for 20 minutes.
Jake Pei, we know you wrote TN. It's okay.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling me out.
Neronova writes in, it says, the 23rd Tenkaichi, watching it for the first time all those years ago. It was great seeing so many characters we saw throughout the story face each other, and in many ways, it felt like a nice ending to the series, even if there was so much more to see. Yeah, I don't want to hear anyone be like, Toriyama's got a bad memory when Chi-Chi shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, yeah.
After not being in, like, I don't know, how many chapters was it? Like 130 chapters
at that
point?
At least, like, 100 episodes. Like, when you go episode-wise, it's... Yeah.
Well, she showed up in some filler.
Oh, that's right. Well, so. Not Toriyama, that's Toei.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saban says, probably the 23rd Tenkaichi Budokai. Toriyama's art style was at an all-time high. First arc of Goku with his older appearance. Piccolo is one of, if not my favorite Dragon Ball villain, and can't forget moments like Goku's weighted clothing reveal. We love to watch Goku strip here. We love it. It's good.
I agree, Saban. I think this is Toriyama's peak art and his peak action and his peak paneling and everything. It's just him, like, artistically at the top of his game, and it does extend into the Saiyan arc. Not to say any of the rest of it is bad or anything, but I always think back to this part where Piccolo punches Krillin, right? And his arm extends out, and you see Krillin go back flying, and he warps the tournament grounds underneath him.
Oh.
Like, it rounds out, and just, you really don't see stuff like that in the later arcs.
I'll have to check that out again. That's all. Yeah, this was going to be, like, my choice, but I thought about, like, between this and Namek was going to be my choice of, like, favorite arcs.
Reese writes in and says, the Red Ribbon Army arc. I love the sheer variety of locations used, all in which were beautiful. Most of the villains left a strong impression on me for different reasons. Blue, black, red, Tao, and Murasaki in particular. And the fights themselves felt unique. They also blended action and comedy perfectly and gave us one of my favorite training power-ups in the series. It capping off with Goku reuniting with Gohan and Bora. Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. I was like, which Gohan? And I'm like, oh, okay. being revived were satisfying payoffs. I could ramble for days, but I'll leave it there.
Yeah, I love Murasaki. I almost forgot about him. That's such a great character.
All five of him.
Oh, yeah.
The brothers.
And it proves that America exists in the Dragon Ball universe.
Or the flag design.
But with less states.
Yeah. Omega Okumura says, 22nd Tenkaichi, easy. I've always had a soft spot for Tenshinhan as a character, and from start to finish, it shows his character arc and provides Roshi with faith in the next generation to defend the Earth. Then the arc ends in the most intense change in Dragon Ball's story. Yeah. And we're all having a good time. And then somebody dies.
let's go get Korean barbecue. It's going to be a great time.
Krillin, I'll go get my best friend. Oops.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But that's what I always love about the tournaments is that the 21st tournament kind of goes straight into Red Ribbon. It's like the next day Goku goes out on that journey. Mm-hmm. And then 22nd goes straight into King Piccolo. And really, that story does not stop and goes into the 23rd.
Yep.
And then even in the 25th starts off, and then we go into Boo. So it's, like in other series, right, in Yu Yu Hakusho, you've got the Dark Tournament. And it's just kind of like, whatever, it's a tournament. In Super, you've got the Tournament of Power, and like, whatever, it's a tournament.
But these tournaments are just jumping points to bigger story arcs. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Jumping points or deeply rooted in other story arcs, yeah. Zekin 1 writes in and says, the Saiyan arc has the best fight in the manga. The way the low-born Goku challenges the elite Vegeta, both physically and philosophically, is masterfully done. Everything from the flow of the fight to the very moves they use and their moves' origins strengthen the thematic clash more so. Yeah, it's great. Vegeta coming to terms with these lowly clown Saiyans.
And him getting...
He's a clown! He's Saiyan scum! That's a deep cut. Let me know in the comments if you get that reference.
I don't.
Well, there's no clowns in space.
Oh. Polar Tang says, can't pick just one, so... OG 23rd Tenkaichi. To me, it's a perfect culmination of everything Goku learned over the series, and I love his too brief enemy ship with Piccolo. Two, or not two, Z. That's what I meant to say.
Dragon Ball 2.
Twice as good as the first one. Z, Cell Saga. Everyone gets a chance to shine in one way or another. Human characters get the spotlight, Tenshin Han against Cell, and Krillin saving 18, then removing her and 17's bomb. Goku is at his peak character-wise in that arc as he becomes more of a mentor to Gohan. And of course, everything Gohan does. Future Trunks, Super Saiyan Vegeta, Kamikalo. Super says, Moro feels the most like Z. I love how Goku and Vegeta both go on their own paths to try and solve the question of how to beat Moro. Maris is the goat, and Goku going perfect Ultra Instinct is god tier. GT, last episode is good.
Debatably.
Go listen to our episode where we talked about
last,
that.
Last 5 minutes are good.
All right.
Crunchy Dude writes in and says, my favorite has to be the Namek arc because watching Goku transform into a Super Saiyan changed my life, laughing, crying emoji. Wow. But also having the characters who don't fight, King Kai, Kami, Mr. Popo, Guru, helping behind the scenes add a unique layer to the epic duel on a vanishing planet. Oh,
love That's that true. Phrase.
Yeah, the way Kami is like, hey, yeah, I'm thinking we're going to wish back everyone that Nappa killed. And Kai was like, no, we got to use his wish for something else. Don't.
Well, it's great that they're being like proactive, you know, like, but without being like, without asking. I mean, he is a god himself, but it's like, I'm going to go get the Dragon Balls to help in some way, any way I can. And it just takes a higher god to be like, wait, I'm glad you did that, but let's use it for something else.
Yeah, because they never wish those people back.
Oh.
Whoops.
Zoinks. All right, Julian. 5 Julian says, Namek Saga. There's just something special about the Battle Royale, every man for himself feeling that the arc has, especially near the beginning. The different character, the different ways characters attempt to get the Dragon Balls from each other by hiding or stealing or blowing up entire villages. Yeah.
Vegeta's. Some sneaky shit. It is like a Battle Royale. That's so funny.
Hey, Doug, what's that watch on the shelf back there behind you? That's a very nice looking watch.
It's just a watch, nothing else.
Spring writes in and says, Android/Cell. Watching Gohan turn Super Saiyan 2 was special and should have been the baton passed to him. They buried him as lazy and weak in the Buu saga. just differently focused, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I understand a lot of people, Gohan is a sore point for them in Boo.
Yeah.
And even when we were talking about it, we really didn't talk about Gohan that much because he kind of comes and goes in the Boo arc.
Yeah.
And that's it. But he does get Usunoro. So.
I also just really love those couple episodes with him in high school, especially.
Me too.
The baseball game. Yeah. Oh, so good.
He's like trying to think in his head, do I get hit? Do I let it go? Or?
That's I get to take my base now, right?
And if you think about like Great Saiyaman as a manifestation of all of Gohan's childhood trauma from Namek,
oh my gosh,
it's really great.
Yeah.
Santsu
says, unpopular opinion, but Moro arc. I don't think it is that unpopular of an opinion, Santsu. Spoiler free for Doug. Thank you. We appreciate that. It has everything you can ask for in a Dragon Ball arc, and Ultra Instinct is my favorite thing in fiction. Maris is also a great character, and Goku having to stay calm and control his emotions instead of getting angry is good stuff.
Yeah, Doug, you think you know Ultra Instinct?
You don't know
Ultra Instinct. Wait, so it gets cooler? That form gets cooler? I'm glad I just bought a figure of Master Ultra Instinct.
Weeba shouts out, writes in, and says, depending on how you categorize it, I always enjoy Baba's mini arc tournament on rewatch. The perfect blend of Toriyama's humor, action, and drama. The reveal of the mystery fighter will never not make me bawl my eyes out. Absolute peak Dragon Ball.
Some great moments there.
That's such good stuff. We had such a wide range of, you know, people's opinions on this. People who like the Red Ribbon arc, which is something that Ken and I weren't super into. But you know what?
3 people.
Did you guys mention that beforehand, or just a coincidence that there's like 3 people that really digged it?
Just a coincidence, because Ken and I were just talking beforehand. I was just like, it's not really my thing. So thank you, everybody, for turning in and sharing.
Thank you. Everyone came out. That was great.
Yeah. So as always, we have to cap things off with trivia. And I have
It's not a bit. I literally forget every time when I'm having such a lovely time discussing Dragon Ball. And then it's like, by the way.
This whole section is really just a Kill Doug's mood.
God,
you know?
Dang it.
And what's better is that it is, I don't think, super themed. So you can't be prepared for this. But done by a friend of the show, Zenpai, the trivia deity. We have three questions for you guys. So I need you to be on your game, ready to answer these questions. Three. Number one, what was the closest the anime came to catching up with the manga? Or when?
Oh, good question.
Ken.
Goku Frieza fight?
I'm going to say around the Garlic Jr. stuff, because that's why Garlic Jr. existed.
I mean, you're both pretty much right there, because the answer is Dragon Ball Z episode 96, right after Goku first transformed into a Super Saiyan, the anime was only 10 chapters behind. So
10. Wow.
10. So we really had to spread out that Frieza fight. We had to throw in the Garlic Jr. stuff while we waited for some of the Android stuff to be built up. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a future episode we're going to do Dragon Ball by the year, mm-hmm. right? And what does that mean? Do several years at a time. But we'll talk about what was happening in each year. We'll kind of go through the year, right? So you can kind of have context for what was happening in the world of Dragon Ball as we go out. And we're going to get into kind of stuff like that. We're like, hey, this monumental thing happened in the manga. Here's how far behind the anime was. Or like, here's when this cool video game came out. Yeah. What context is that for?
Here's
what
else is
going on?
Here's when I got my first kiss, and that's when...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's when Raditz, movie 6 came out. How long would it be until Dende became God in the manga?
Cool.
So, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun stuff. And I thank Ken for repurposing all of his Konzenshu Wiki work to be podcast material, which is, I assume that's what that timeline is that you're working on is for. Question two. What is the only arc of Dragon Ball Super for which we don't have explicit confirmation of Toriyama submitting a story draft? Oh, this is interesting.
I thought you said there was no super questions.
I said there was no themed questions.
The fuck does that mean?
It's not about arcs.
Okay.
You know.
So, I mean, we know that he was approached to do the future Trunks arc. Mm. So is that what he means?
It's not his answer. No.
I've got no guess.
He's like, that was not his idea.
So it's something
someone said.
We don't have an explicit confirmation of him submitting a story draft. So I don't know. I don't know, to be honest with you. But the answer is, I'm just going to skip to it, tell you what it is. It's the Moro arc. Apparently there was no submitted story draft by Toriyama for the Moro arc. So there's that.
Arguably, it's kind of why I think the Moro arc is sick, because it's just like straight Toyotaro.
Unchained.
And like letting him do his thing.
Yeah. Mm. And final question, when was the first chapter of Dragon Ball published in the pages of Weekly Shonen Jump?
When?
When was Dragon Ball first published?
What date? Was the first chapter?
84. Can I pull up my timeline real quick?
February. Was it February? I'm going to say February.
I'm going to say March.
We all know. 9, we all know 84. It's 84. Yeah.
No. No. That's.
It might have been like the March volume of Shonen Jump, but that means like January for some reason in Japan.
I see where you're coming from. Unfortunately, the answer is November 20th, 1984. So, Ken, you get the closest. You just gave me a year.
November.
Doug, you just said February.
Prices, right?
I said we all know it's 84. Check the tapes, dang it.
Okay.
I have it listed on my buy list. I'm like, search Shonen Jump 84 for a good price.
Don't you know his password is Drabak Does 84? Drabak Doug 84.
Well, now we all know. So you might want to start changing
now
the password.
Now I got to change it to 85.
Change it back to Big Booty Bitches.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Done deal.
So thank you, Zenpai, for giving that to us. Always great to put these two nerds in their place. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Every time.
And we'll also just want to give a quick shout out before we close out here to the most recent Konzenshu podcast. You've probably heard that show. You're probably already a fan of it. But if you haven't, go check it out. They recently just put together an episode featuring a whole bunch of people giving their thoughts and things for Toriyama's passing. Very heartfelt. Bring some tissues. There is some emotional moments, but so great to hear so many people.
It's so lovely to hear everyone from all walks of life give their love, show their support for Toriyama.
And yep. Yeah. So we're going to close this out. So thanks for listening. We love interacting with you, keeping you in the conversation, talking about our favorite franchise in the world. Post it us on our socials at We Got a Pod, and you can email us at wegotapod@gmail.com.
Thank you to Rifty Beach for letting us use the track Kakarot Theme Hip Hop Trap Remix. You can find that track and other great music by Rifty on his SoundCloud. Ken, where can the people find you?
You can find me at DetectiveX on Twitter.com.
Hey. You can find me at Saber_Breaker on different things. Doug?
And you can find me at JabazDoug on different things.
Nice.
Thanks as always for listening. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, ring the tickle the little bell, you know.
Tickle it, tiny.
Tickle your friends. Let them know about We Got a Podcast on the school grounds. No, that was for me. I was about to say, mention We Got a Pod at bluesky.social, but no, that's for me to do.
Looks like someone's tickling Ken.
So, tell your friends to mention we have a Blue Sky now.
Yeah, yeah. Is anyone, a legitimate question, let me know in the comments.
Yeah.
Do you care about Blue Sky? Do you think we're going there? Do you think we're going anywhere? I think we're stuck. I think we're stuck with Elon Musk, unfortunately. So as always, thanks for watching, and we'll catch you matinator.
See ya.
Bye.